dedicated to each and every one of you who appreciate a great glass of wine. You know what I mean?
It's Monday. Let's raise a glass to the beginning of another week. It's time to unscrew, uncork, or saber a bottle, and let's begin exploring the wine glass. Today, I am sitting down with a group of wine writing friends to discuss some crazy wine laws. We know that the three-tier system is crazy enough, but these laws are downright insane. We can't even begin to figure out what was going through the legislature's minds when they wrote these laws. For example, in New Jersey, if you are arrested for drunk driving, you have to pay the fine, but you are no longer eligible for vanity plates. Oh, the horror! So we had a few laughs with this one, and I hope you do too. Slancha! Hey everybody, I'm Lori Budd, a UC Davis winemaking program, sommelier service, champagne specialist, and WSET Level 2 graduate. You can find Exploring the Wine Glass on all the socials, as well as your favorite podcast catchers. If you haven't subscribed yet, now's the perfect time to swipe, subscribe, rate, and review. I promise I'll never tell you what to drink, but I'll always share what's in my glass. Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Wine Writers Wrap Up. I am two for two for the month, for the year of 2021. We are on a roll today, okay, this year. Before we get into what the topic is, I am going to let my colleagues here introduce themselves. So, Debbie, you are next to me, so I'm going to go to you first.
I'm Debbie Pietrindo. I'm known as the Hudson Valley Wine Goddess. I'm a wine blogger and a wine writer. I'm also an author of Tapping the Hudson Valley, Day Trips and Weekend Itineraries to Visit the Hudson Valley Wine Region. I am a certified specialist of wine, a wine location specialist in Port and Champagne. And in the spring, I am opening a restaurant in North Wildwood, New Jersey called Trio North Wildwood. And I don't know if I left anything out, but that's it in a nutshell.
It's a lot of stuff. All right, Maria.
Hi, everybody. I am Maria Ferraro-Beardsley. I'm here for Wine and Cheese Friday, and we do wine and cheese pairings all over the world, wherever it is that we tend to be at that time. And currently, I'm in Costa Rica, so if you've ever heard of Costa Rican cheese, there's a lot of it on the blog right now. Because I feel like I've reviewed almost all of them in the 14 months that I've been here. I am revisiting some Italian wines that I posted in the past, and that's kind of our theme for February. So if you see any of our stuff, it's about Italian wines.
And Michael.
Okay, so I have a wine site or website, California Wines and Wineries. I blog and founder of the National Wine Cab Franc Wine Competition, and Lori is a co-sponsor of that, and that's about it. And I play a lot of golf and just hang out and drink a lot of wine.
I was going to say, and drink a lot of wine. Okay, Anatoly.
Hi, I'm Anatoly Levine. I'm a wine blogger at Tocavino. I've been doing that for about 10 plus years. Otherwise, I love wine, and I'm just sharing my enthusiasm for that with the world. That's about it.
That's about it in a nutshell.
Yep.
And Linda.
Yes, I'm here. I'm unmuted and I'm very happy to be here. I'm a wine blogger and wine writer. I blog at My Full Wine House, Wine Glass, excuse me. And I'm a certified specialist of wine, WSET Level 3. And that's about me in a nutshell, too. I mean, I just moved to the Pacific Northwest, so... I'm discovering this part of the world, and that's about it.
It is a beautiful Linda, part of the world. It is. Yeah.
Linda, your website again?
My Full Wine Glass.
My Full Wine, thank you.
And I am Lori, your host. I write my blog and podcast under Exploring the Wine Glass. I am WSET Level 2 certified, champagne specialist, sommelier service certified, and my husband and I own Dracena Wines in Paso Robles, where we specialize in Cabernet Franc. We also produce a Chenin Blanc and a Rosé. And this week, we got the big email from Wine Enthusiast. We received another 92 for our Cab Franc. So we are very excited. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Back to
congratulations, Lori. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. Back to back 92s and our consistent 90 plus rating for every vintage. So it's always a nervous email to receive. I'm like, yay! Anyway, today on Wine Writers Wrap Up, I thought we would go something a little bit funny and off, you know, off tilt, and just, you know, there's so much seriousness in the world. Let's do something that's really goofy and crazy and wacky. And so I found an article when I was skimming through things of wine laws. And now we all know that the TTV and everything is insane. And, you know, the three tier is really, you know, antiquated and ridiculous, but we live with that. And those are rules that we have to, or laws that we have to live by. But some of these laws in these states are just hysterical. So I thought that I would bring a couple of them up, and I think Debbie has some others. And just, you know, I'll throw them out there and hear what you guys think about them. Could you live with them? Because they are actually still in existence to this day. So it's a free for all. I'll throw the first one out there, and let's just talk and see what you guys think about it. All right? All good?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the first one is Massachusetts. Okay. And this, I really had no clue, because I've been to Massachusetts a lot. And I'm pretty sure I did have this, but maybe not. Massachusetts actually forbids happy hour because it is against the public safety measure. So it is.
Okay, what? I have to say, I'm from Massachusetts. So when you said that, Massachusetts, I was excited. I was like, ooh, all right, I'm ready. But forbidding happy hour, I've definitely attended happy hour in Massachusetts. So I don't know about that. I don't know.
I know. They're saying that it is illegal in Massachusetts to have a happy hour because it is against public safety. And I know I've partied it up at Sam Adams and in Boston, and, you know.
I don't know. I mean, like, the only thing that I can think that would have anything to do with happy hour is that it usually starts at 5, and how can you be there if you don't get out of work until 5? So, I mean, maybe people would be mad about that, but I don't know about it being forbidden. I mean, that's not anything I've heard of.
No. What do you think of the concept of just forbidding happy hour? I mean, in general. Anyway.
This is nuts. But by the way, they are, I just Googled something, right? So happy hours are still banned in Alaska, Delaware, Hawaii, Indiana, Maine, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, Utah, Vermont, and Massachusetts.
Ah,
so they are in an amazing company.
I don't know.
That is a lot of states to not have a happy hour.
They reword it. It's got to be reworded.
Wow. That is nuts.
Happy hour, maybe. It might be.
I mean, the best thing about happy hour is that...
Unfortunately, the reason is very sad. Because it's in place since 1984, when the drunk driver killed a person.
Wow.
That's why. Yeah.
See, but you know, these are the things that bother me. That's very, very sad. That's very sad. But you can get drunk and drive on a non-happy hour.
Oh, of course.
Right?
Of course.
Any evening. Any evening.
Yeah, there hasn't been any other incidents of drunk driving and people being killed outside of those states.
Right. That's that. I don't understand that logic. I don't, Linda. What do you think?
Well, I think you could. You know, is it just that they're called happy hour, or is it that you can't serve wine, you know, until a certain time of the evening? It just seems like is it a name only?
No. So I think what it is you know how typical happy hour is. It's not just a name.
The typical happy hour.
Exactly, it's discounted alcohol. So right. This is what they try to fight with. They do not allow that alcohol would be discounted, because when alcohol is discounted, then people drink up.
They're trying to get rid of incentives to drink. To Lori's point, I mean, people drive drunk without attending happy hours, you know, unfortunately. It seems like something that, you know, some elected official said, oh, we have to do something. Look at this tragedy that just, and it is a tragedy. It was a tragedy. Passed some bill in the legislature that, you know, to try to deal with it, maybe from some pressure from constituents or something. Right. It seems pretty ridiculous.
Well, just to be a little bit careful, this is an article from 2015, so maybe something changed since then, but this is interesting that in Illinois, there is an interesting twist. So Illinois law allows for up to 4 hours of happy hour per day with a maximum of 15 hours per week. All happy hours need to be advertised a week in advance.
Oh my God.
And free drink specials. Yes, free drink specials like 2-for-1 deals are strictly prohibited. And the establishment cannot host drinking games or give drinks away as prizes.
You can't play trivia?
No. They say give drinks away as prizes like at trivia nights. Specifically.
Wow. Oh, that's so wrong. So I'll share a little bit, maybe a little bit too intimate, but whatever, we're all friends. So when I was younger and may have had a fake ID, we used to be able to, and Anatoly and Debbie, you would know this, right? From where I live, right? We could jump right into New York, you know, New York State very easily. Mm-hmm. So in Nanuet, there was this bar that was infamous for, you know, not being too strict on checking the ID, which we all knew there was a bar somewhere. But, you know, they had an event that was called Penny Till You Pee. Okay. And it was massive. I mean, it was mobbed, because the way it worked is they opened the doors at whatever hour. And then at a set hour, they closed. There's so much wrong with this night. As an adult, there's so much wrong with it. But they closed the doors, okay? So nobody else can get in. They literally, like, lock the doors with a mob of people in the building, right? And then every beer is a penny, okay? So it's a madhouse to get your beer and to pay your penny, right? But it was only a penny until one person went to the bathroom. So as soon as one person went pee, the beer...
That was before...
What? What, Deb?
That was before Defend.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm sure probably people started doing that. But, right, so penny till you pee. And it was a huge event. And then what happened was they had to stop it because, and this is so sad, but because people were getting beat up to not go to the bathroom. So people were standing in front of the bathrooms and blocking people from going to the bathrooms. And then they were locking the doors, which is a whole fire hazard type thing. So they got in trouble for that. And, you know, and it was mobbed well beyond the capacity, I'm sure. But we were having a blast. We were having a blast. But I think it's things like that, you know, they have this idea in their brain and not quite fully through, but
yeah,
those were good days.
One other thing, that's a crazy thing, but I was just thinking, 1994, they didn't have Uber. So, like, my kids who now are, you know, I mean, they have families, small families, but when they do go out, they're always Ubering every which way.
Right.
And so that kind of negates some of that was legislated in 1994. I think
it might come back in 1984.
I think people are much more responsible
right.
today.
Massachusetts was the first state to ban happy hour.
Oh, okay.
In 1984, they were the first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, and I was going to say, since Michael brought up Ubers, when we lived in San Francisco, I mean, God, talk about a place where a lot of people drink, but we would just ride the bus, and it felt like, wow, this is great. I don't have to worry about anything, so I'm just going to get on the bus. So I just have to, like, get over to the bus stop. So, I mean, there definitely are, the bus has been around forever, so, like, that would have been an option, too. But I think that hopefully people are more responsible about it now than they were in the 80s. I mean, I don't know, but hopefully they are.
Not to bring it down, but Kansas City coach, right?
Andre Reed, yeah, yep. His son just got a DWI.
And killed, the girl's in the hospital, Ina Cola. And you're talking NFL here, where the NFL literally has a policy where every athlete, so does the NBA, that every athlete has free, it's not Uber because it's their Uber, you know?
Right.
All the NFL has to, anybody in the NFL has to do is call a number that they're provided and they will be picked up. No questions asked, nothing. And look at how many drunk driving things they get, DWIs they get arrested for. So sadly, yes, Michael, Uber's here, and Maria, you hope people are more responsible, but sadly, we have people who aren't, you know?
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, but before we get on to the next thing, I forgot, my brain is scattered today. What are we all drinking?
I have a Pack Green Pinot Noir from Oregon.
Oh.
I actually took a picture of it before I came upstairs. Because I knew I wasn't going to.
Is Paul drinking the rest of it?
Paul fell asleep. Paul fell asleep. Hold on, I'm trying to find it. It's my inability to know how to use an iPhone.
Well, while Debbie's looking, I am drinking a rosé of Pinot Noir from Billsboro, and this is from the Finger Lakes. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Bishop Block, Pinot Noir.
Bishop Block.
I think it's
2016. All right.
So I poured the glass into mine and came up. We were at the end of the bottle, so he would miss it.
Maria, what are you drinking?
I've got a white wine that has an owl on it. This was one of our most recent Wine and Cheese Friday entries. We paired it with two different cheeses, and we liked it a lot, so we just got a second bottle. It's a white blend of Zarello and Macabeo in Spain. Grapes that I can't tell you that I know much about, but it's got a tartness to it and some minerals, and it's nice. We're enjoying it.
All right.
It's a cava.
Zarello is used in cava. The Macabeo is Viura, so white Riojas are typically made out of that grape.
It's the same as Viura, okay.
It's Viura, cool. Macabeo, it's a different name. Spain has, bunch of grapes are called all bunch of names in different places. I'm the... I don't want to turn off that thing. It's 2015 Chianti Colicinese. Fattoria San Donato.
All right.
It's drinkable. Nothing to write home about, but it's wine.
It's wine. Michael, are you drinking or are you doing scotch? What are you doing?
I'm drinking a 2021 Gatorade. I'm actually doing a review on a Chardonnay at dinner when this gets over, so I'll be drinking that.
All right. And Linda, are you drinking?
What Chardonnay?
It's from Jesse's Grove in Lodi.
And Linda, are you drinking?
Well, at the moment, I'm drinking kombucha. There it is. But I have a Black Girl Magic Riesling that's chilling, and that's from McBride Sisters. So I'm getting ready for a Twitter chat on Saturday about BIPOC wineries.
Right.
And so have that Riesling ready to go.
Awesome. I hear wonderful things. I haven't had the pleasure of trying it, but I've heard very good things about it.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, ready for our next crazy law? South Carolina has banned the sale of alcohol on Election Day.
Well, this year I'm glad they did.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, no matter who gets elected, you have to drink the rest of the other 364 days to put up with whoever gets elected. It doesn't matter who.
Absolutely. So just on election day, you cannot buy alcohol. So you can buy all you want the day before, but.
Right.
Yeah. And so if all of a sudden you get too upset, you can't just go and spend all your money on the. Like five cases of whatever.
Right.
Interesting logic.
I mean, that's the whole reason why I thought of this topic is that exactly, Anatoly, the logic. What is the logic behind that?
Yeah, so happy hour, we figured out, and actively supported as a law. Yeah, you're right. With Uber and everything might be reconsidered, but this one, man, I don't know. Someone feed it. We did something. For what? People are safer now. I don't know. No idea.
I don't think there are any
safety. No idea.
But anyway, so in New York, you know, you cannot buy a wine bag at a liquor store. If you want to buy a wine gift bag to put the wine in that you purchased.
You cannot buy it in New York?
Nope.
Why?
They don't want it to be a present?
I guess not. You cannot.
Wow.
There's liquor stores that have gotten fined by the New York State.
That's crazy.
That's incredible.
Can they wrap it into, like, you know, this
tissue
foil?
Tissue paper.
I think that's a fine line.
That's hysterical.
Wow. That's crazy.
It's hysterical.
Yeah.
We don't have this problem in Connecticut.
Yeah, no. So in Tennessee, when we lived my 13 months in Tennessee that I affectionately or disaffectionately call Helltown, we lived in this county called Brighton. The city was Brighton, but it was also the county. And we were outside of Memphis. And their law is that you cannot sell alcohol 500 feet from a church. Well, if anybody's been to Tennessee, the Memphis area, like it's the Bible Belt. There's a church another church before 500 feet, right? And while we were there, a church was being built behind a liquor store. So the liquor store was there first.
To put it out of the business?
That's exactly what they did. They did. They built the church.
Wow.
And then they said you can't sell alcohol 500 feet within a church. And the liquor store was fighting it. And the church, I am not lying. I swear. This is what was in the newspaper. Liquid Satan is at our door.
Wow.
Is at our door. So they did. The church who was just being built put the liquor store out of business. Because they how hard?
That's horrible.
Right?
That's
How's
horrible.
That for a law?
That's incredible.
Right? And now a word from our sponsor. Looking to be in the know about Dracena wines? Want to be the first to know about our new releases and special offers? All you need to do is sign up for our newsletter. There is no commitment necessary, and I promise you we won't spam your mailbox with loads of messages. Need another reason to sign up? Quite possibly the best reason? You'll immediately get a discount code for 10% off your first purchase and be privy to newsletter-only discounts. Let Dracena Wines turn your moments into great memories. Visit our website, www.dracenawines.com, or use the link in show notes to sign up. It will take you less than a minute, but the rewards will last a lifetime.
So I have one outside of states, Bolivia.
Oh, okay.
So you're in the capital of Bolivia, which is La Paz. And if you're married and you go out to happy hour, or you go into a bar or restaurant, they only will allow you to drink one glass of wine because they don't want you to drink more than that because they don't want you to get drunk and talk to men that you're not married to.
Oh my goodness. Wait. Debbie, I missed something. Yes. Is that, only for women?
Women. Women can only have one.
Oh my God. Really?
Men can suck it up and talk to any female.
Wow.
But women can't because they don't want women to talk to other men that they're, you know, that it's not their husband, so they flirt. They don't want them to flirt.
Wow.
But wait. Assume if they are by themselves, right? If the couple goes to the restaurant, there is no restriction, right?
If they're married.
So you got to go into the bar and take your wedding band off.
Off and pretend you're single.
In we have some friends that live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I don't know if it's only Santa Fe or if it's only just near them, but I think it's all of Santa Fe. They have a 2-drink limit at all the bars. You're only allowed to get 2 drinks. That's it. You can't get more than that. If you ask for a third, they tell you have to leave.
Wow.
But then you go to the next bar, right?
Well, I mean, right. So how are they going to know that you didn't just go to five bars all night and drink 10 drinks? I don't know, but that's their laws, that they can't serve you more than 2.
I live in Stamford, Connecticut, which is 7 miles away from New York border, New York state border. Mm-hmm. So the bars in Connecticut are open until 2, New York until 4. So obviously not in the COVID times, but in the before, people would party until 2 in Connecticut, move to New York to continue.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
See, so now I think that law is backwards because that's almost inviting people to drink and drive, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Only get 2 drinks here, all right, well, here's my 2 drinks. Time to go. Let me go to the next bar. I mean, Santa Fe, I've never been there, but I think, you know, it's kind of like close-knit, whatever. I mean, maybe you can walk from bar to bar, but you're still...
You can walk to multiple bars, but there's not that many though, like that are all right next to each other. You'd have to drive a little bit.
Right. Like that's counterintuitive in my opinion. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and I don't know if we want to include beer laws here too, but I know Neil is from Pennsylvania, and when he was growing up, you had to go to a beer distributor. You couldn't go to like the grocery store or anything and get beer. And when you went to the beer distributor, you had to buy 12 packs. You couldn't buy anything less than that. And the beer had to be warm. Like that was their way of preventing you from going and buying beer and drinking it all like immediately. But I mean, obviously on Monday you could go and buy your 12 pack and then on Tuesday at home drink all 12 because they'd be cold by then. But I don't know. That was one of his laws that he told me was that you had to buy warm.
Linda, Pennsylvania is crazy.
I lived in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Pennsylvania is crazy. Even today, but it's not only Pennsylvania, right? But PLCB, this is Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. Only they can sell wine in a store. Yeah, you buy beer at the package stores and only... Yeah, and it's crazy.
They do have wine in some of the grocery stores now. They finally do. Massachusetts, again, same way. Like, none of that was in the grocery store. We went to a grocery store I want to say in 2019, and that was the first time we saw wine in the grocery store in Massachusetts.
Linda, you're nodding your head. Go ahead.
Yeah, because I lived in Pennsylvania before we moved out here to Washington, and yeah, they have wine in the grocery store now and beer.
Right.
It's not every wine. So and Pennsylvania has premium wine stores and has run of the mill wine stores. So to really find, you know, like with there could be the luxury wines are really top of the line.
Oh,
available in the grocery stores. It's not the entire selection of wines. So, wanting grocery stores to take over as wine stores, but you can buy wine in grocery stores now. So that's one thing. Pennsylvania also had blue laws until a couple of decades ago or something. But so there were no sales on Sunday, and actually no stores were open on Sunday. It was a long time ago, but I think when it comes to really backward states, Pennsylvania's right up there.
Connecticut was like that.
Yeah. Bergen County is still blue laws. Bergen County, where I grew up, is still blue laws.
New Jersey's got the weirdest liquor laws. So to get a liquor license, okay, whatever you pay for, whatever the liquor license is going for, it's based on the population of your town, and they base how many liquor licenses they allow on the population. Mm-hmm. So liquor licenses have been in families for generations.
Wow.
So they're gonna, like, whether it's a restaurant or a liquor store, if they're going to sell, they're selling it for millions of dollars.
Wow.
So the person like me opening up a restaurant who just wants a wine and beer and cider license can't afford it and can't get one because it's cost prohibitive. Even if one was available. There was one available in North Wildwood. It was like $250 they were selling it for, which really was not a bad price, but in my lifetime, am I going to see a return on investment? No.
So did you guys already have one for the other restaurant, or you didn't have a license for there either?
No, we didn't have one for there either. And that was the start. But no, we didn't have one for there either. Because I hand sell all her wine and kick ass. But,
In New Jersey, you... I think at least that's the way it was. You cannot buy wine in a supermarket. So there were only three exceptions, I think, in a state.
Unless it's
grandfathered, like one of the shop rights somewhere in Bergen County. They were like, literally few.
And they're trying to change that, but who knows?
Yeah. In Connecticut, you can buy beer in supermarkets, but not wine or anything stronger than that. So only beer. But for wine, you have to go to the liquor stores. Wine and whatever.
Wine, you can buy beer in the grocery store. But you gotta go to the liquor store.
I don't remember which state we were in. It might have been Pennsylvania, but we've spent some time in North Carolina too. But someone had a sign on the end cap that said, "We now carry full strength beer." And it was just like the funniest thing that I've ever seen. And I was like, "Full strength beer? What is full strength beer?" Like, and I guess it was the same idea. Like, you could only have a certain percentage. Like, so that was all the grocery store was allowed to sell.
Oklahoma is only allowed to sell beer with 4% alcohol by volume. And along with what you were saying, Maria, it has to be sold at room temperature. Okay. So, I mean, 4%, I don't even know a beer that's 4%,
Do they have any breweries in Oklahoma?
I don't know. That's a good question. Anatoly's Googling, I can tell.
Yes.
Because I've
Korea. Utah had that low alcohol beer for many, many, many years. They still do.
Yeah. So Utah, I mean, Utah is its own little weird world. Utah and Indiana, the weird one that I found for them, and it's funny because we're living it right now, is that you're only allowed to purchase drinks at restaurants and you must buy food. So that's the pandemic law going on right now for us. We have to buy food with the alcohol.
So I've got one on labels. I'm a label buyer. For Alabama, racy labels are considered inappropriate. So no wine labels featuring sensuous or immodest imagery is allowed.
Where was that?
Alabama.
Alabama.
So can you buy, if you see K, can you buy that wine there?
If what?
If you see K.
Oh.
Which, okay.
You know what, Anna?
You know what I'm talking about.
That's a whole, we'll talk about that off of this. I'll talk to you about that after. But we'll go chronic.
It's a fun label. It's a fun label.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
If you see K, this is Lori. Who makes it?
I don't know.
No. It's a well-known guy. It's not obviously not. Oh God. Dave Feeney, I think. No, maybe not.
No. Then you're talking about a different one than I'm talking about, because I'll say it, whatever. He never went through TTB. He's totally just selling it and hoping TTB doesn't catch him.
No.
You're talking about
somebody. This one is a very official. Come on. No.
Oh, hold on. I might have a bottle. Ones. We're talking two different ones.
I'll
be back. All right. While Anatoly's doing that, because the one I'm talking about just came out last year, and I was like, how can this happen? How can this legally be? I couldn't even sell a rosé unless I said wine on it, and they're allowing that, you know. To think about what you're saying, so Chronic Cellars, are you guys familiar with Chronic Cellars?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're in Paso. They're. I don't know who owns it now, but it was originally the Sons of Peachy Canyon. They went out on their own and they created their own label. Now they sold that label and they're actually back at Peachy Canyon because their father retired. But Chronic Cellars is infamous for having labels that are innuendos. Like some of them, I've been in the tasting room and I'm like, I don't get it. You know, and they're like staring at me, just keep saying it over and over and over again. I'm like, but I don't get it. You know? And other ones are like, oh, you know. So Debbie, what you're saying is if it's race, if it's that way, they don't allow that label to be sold in their stores?
In the state, yeah.
In the state. But who determines what's racy?
They must have a board about it.
Yeah.
Like a governing board or whatever.
Anatoly,
I'm trying to show. One second. I'm sorry.
Anatoly's
trying to show that.
Anatoly's teaching us how about high end.
This one.
Antennas.
Sorry. This one.
That's different. But that's clever. That's like a Chronic Cellars. That's like
I don't remember. It's a famous winemaker. Okay. This one is it's a famous winemaker.
Hold on, I gotta put my glasses on.
Okay.
I forgot who makes it, but this is, and it's a good wine, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a good wine.
We can
zoom the label.
I give them clever points for that. Oh, look at that label.
Yeah, something like that probably wouldn't be allowed.
See, that's if.
Okay.
That's right. Clever. That's brilliant.
Right. No, listen. No argument.
That's clever. I'm gonna see if I can find this.
The Chronic Cellars one that I know has the skull head on it, and I've actually seen a few labels that have skulls on them. And a friend of mine is like, Halloween is her favorite day of the year. So I keep track of them in my mind, which ones have the skull, but I don't think I know any of their other ones.
I don't know if they're still doing it, because like I said, they're not the owners anymore, so I don't know if they're still doing it.
Right.
But yeah, there's a lot of the skulls and the skeletons, but there were like I'll ruin them. So, you know, I'll ruin them. I needed to be figuring it out. I wasn't that clever. So this one I think is hysterical. In Arkansas, which I'm going to be a little mean here, and I'm a Razorback fan. And you know what? I took one class virtual so that I can say I'm a Razorback. But Arkansas, if you are caught drinking underage, in addition to paying the fine that is required, minors have to write an essay about alcohol for their school.
Oh my God. And that's funny.
You got to write an essay. You get busted and you have to write an essay. And seriously,
who do you submit it to? Like the dean?
I guess the principal. I guess maybe the police. Yeah. I guess maybe the police say, you know, Johnny Smith here got busted for underage drinking. He has to submit a 500-word essay. I don't know.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm looking for this label. Deb, do you have another law while I'm looking for this label?
In Alaska, Fairbanks, it is illegal to feed a moose any alcoholic beverage. However, doing so is against the law. Now you know.
That's awesome.
For 36 ounces of beer per person per day.
Wait, say that one again.
A brewery can only pour 36 ounces of beer per person per day.
Well, that's not a lot.
No.
I missed the first one. My sound broke up a little too much.
Oh.
What did I say?
The moose.
They can't feed alcoholic beverages to a moose. And so that's
crazy.
Too, and I don't remember. I think that was like in Scotland.
Oh.
You can't do something with cows because I don't know. I'll have to find that.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to, here we go. Okay. Oh, it's not going to work. You can't see.
No, no.
You can't see. Oh, okay.
You need to turn off your background because it's these things they train for your face but not for anything else. So
can I trick it?
Oh, we can kind of see it.
Yeah.
Can you see it?
Not really, but what is
not
it?
Not enough.
You can share screen, Lori. If you do it on the computer,
but
you can share screen.
It's on, right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll try. You guys
it's the same
talk,
browser.
You guys talk.
Okay. But what are you trying to show? What is it?
The other label that I thought you were talking about. You were talking about. So in Maine, and Anatoly talked about this a little bit, right? That you can't play drinking games in Maine bars, but you are also not allowed to sell alcohol before 9 o'clock any Sunday, unless it's St. Patrick's Day. Then you can sell all day long.
That's very cool.
Oh my gosh, somewhere it was, I can't remember what country it was. Hold on, I'm gonna have to look. But you couldn't sell alcohol 11 o'clock to 2, you can sell it, and you couldn't sell it from 2 to 5, and then you can sell it from 5 to whatever.
Oh my god, that's complicated. Trying to remember what time it is.
Oh, here's the cow. As per older regulations that are still on the books, it is illegal in Scotland to propel a cow while boozed up. We're going to just imagine that until these laws were enhanced, drunken cow races were a constant criminal scourge.
Like ride a cow or propel to me sounds like you're trying to shoot a cow out of a slingshot.
Propel. So take that as it is. I would say ride a cow.
Right. Well, the rest of it makes it sound like ride a cow. Well, you know, cow tipping is illegal in a lot of places.
But it's the idea of, are you the drunk one on the cow, or is the cow drunk?
That's true. Good point, Maria. Good point. Good point. I don't know. Maybe that's where the Western bars got the cow ride from. You know, the cow ride.
Yeah.
You can't do it out there. You can do it in the bar, maybe.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have any other crazy, maybe not necessarily a law, but a crazy thing associated with wine? Because we're almost at our hour, so.
It's Thailand. Your buying is legal in Thailand, but only between the hours of midnight to 11 a.m. and 2 to 5. You're not allowed to purchase alcohol of any kind.
All right.
So, wow.
I don't know. There's got to be some reason behind that. But Michael, what crazy thing do you?
Well, it was just kind of a story. I was in a little village in Ireland called Lahinch, and there was literally a singular wall between the church and the bar next door. And so what they would do is the families would go to church, quote unquote, for 10 o'clock service on Sunday. That they would, the family would go down, the men would go into the bar, and the wife and the kids would go to the church, and then the Monsignor would come over to the church and say, we're about ready to start, and everybody, you know, cilantro, and then they'd run over next door and then go to the service, and then that was it. But there was some kind of a law on the books that you couldn't be within 500 feet of a church, but because the church and the bar had been there for hundreds of years, they allowed this one to go through, and it was a family. That was just the way it was. It was like everybody, the guys went over to the bar, then the Monsignor would come over, say it's time for service, they'd all move over to the church.
That's awesome. Linda, any crazy things that you've come about?
Yeah, I just found one that from Kansas. So in Kansas, it is strictly forbidden to serve wine in teacups.
I think it's good.
Yeah, hi.
Teacups.
Gee, wow. And you got to wonder what caused that law to come into effect. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Maybe it's where like Riedel is or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Riedel is like, no teacups for you. No.
That's must have been some very fun grandmothers having tea that wasn't tea.
Maybe.
That's a good point. Yeah.
All right. So you guys ready for the riddle? I did find one. I found one.
Good.
You ready for the riddle?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure.
Okay. Michael, are you writing this one down? Michael writes.
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Okay. What has a head, a tail, no legs, and is brown? What has a head?
I'm positive I heard this one, and now I can't remember what it is.
is it a coin?
It's a specific one.
A penny.
It's a penny.
Oh. It's a head, a tail, and what was the other, brown?
What has a head, a tail, no legs, and is brown?
Brown. Oh, I thought you said round.
Oh, brown. A penny.
Nice.
Maria is like good with these things, man. She is awesome.
Yeah, we were a game playing family.
We need to like play games, Zoom games, whatever.
All right,
guys. So thank you so much for contributing your crazy laws and Googling to find out reasons why and all of that stuff. And so I'm just going to give like final wrap up, just, you know, 1 minute go around and let people know if there's anything interesting, new development going on that you're looking forward to, and where everybody can find you. So now, Anatoly, you are right next to me, so go on.
Okay, but by the way, there are tons of breweries in Oklahoma.
Oh,
so
okay.
Don't worry about those people. So nothing really special. Just gonna keep blogging. That's all. So you can find me at tocavino.com or talk-a-vino.com. Either one will work. We'll bring you to my site. In terms of specials, there will be one of my favorite wine things of the year is coming up. It's Open That Bottle Night. Lori, I will reply. I will tell you what I don't mean anything crazy. Something like this. That's all. Just okay. Everybody bring a good special bottle of wine. If you don't know what OTBN is, then you will find. Just go to my blog and search, or just search on the internet for OTBN. But this is coming up on February 27th, and this is a really great opportunity to open. Beautiful, whatever bottle of wine you've been saving. So that's.
Don't have any plans.
Yep. I'm done.
All right.
Thanks.
Maria, you're next.
I'm Maria. We are Wine and Cheese Friday, and on all of the social media things, you can find me at Wine Cheese FRI for Friday. That's the easiest way to find us. Just look for that on all of them. Like I said earlier, we're looking through some Italian wines right now. I actually purchased three at the grocery store on Friday. I got a red, a white, and a rosé, and I bought a couple cheeses. So that will be our next entry that we publish, will be some combination of those to follow along with the Italian wine theme.
Awesome. And Linda.
So this month is Black History Month, so be on the lookout for Black-owned wineries and that you know, that you can support. I just think this is, you know, a time to really be thinking about those particular wineries and how to get the word out about the, you know, some of the wine that they're making. And if you're looking for me on social media, it's at Linda, all lowercase. _LBWCSW. So hope to connect with you. It's nice to meet you all.
I'm so happy you were able to join us today. I was so happy. I got a big smile when I saw you reply. And Michael,
thanks for doing this.
My main thing is California Wines and Wineries, https://. CaliforniaWinesAndWineries.com. And I am, my goal so far, I've hit 34 out of 39 days this year so far writing stories and posting those stories. And last year I did 240 stories. I'm hoping to hit closer to 300 stories this year in the year.
Wow.
And post those and get that. And then every day I post them to 60 different blogs. And the only other thing is I'm already working on Cab Franc 2021 and working with banks and trying to get international monetary movement from other countries. And that's a real pain in the butt. But we hope to have, Lori, it will be a 2-day event. So that's working on some of the plans on that. And at the same time, I've got 23 more wineries to write about their awards from one we just had in December, and I'm getting those out. And Lori, you're kind of coming up in the next 1 or 2 weeks. I have a schedule, master schedule on that, so you'll be coming up on that.
Thank you. And Debbie.
Debbie G. Clinton, you can find me at Hudson Valley Wine Goddess.com and Hudson Valley Wine Goddess on Facebook, HP Wine Goddess on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to follow the restaurant that we're building out, it's Trio North Wildwood on Instagram and Facebook, and Trio_W on Twitter, and TrioNorthW.com on the internet. But the menu and stuff will be posted, so Gus gives it to me closer to when we're open. So you can watch watch our build out. I'm posting what I can post without getting in trouble.
There you go. There you go. And once again, I am your host, Lori. My husband and I own Dracena Wines, so we are found all over social media as Dracena Wines and under the blog and podcast as Exploring the Wine Glass. And Debbie and I co-host a monthly wine education program called Wine for Bet Street, of which we are very excited. We have a guest host coming up. Debbie, I'm going to throw you on the spot for the date because I never remember that.
Which month? 15th.
The 15th. And we are up 8 o'clock Eastern time, and we are up to the letter P for Petite Syrah. And we are talking to Lisa Howard of Tolonas in Susan Valley. So it'll be our first Susan Valley. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So thank you, everybody, for joining.
One question. Are you staying in Fresno or are you moving over to Paso?
Right now, no, I got to stay in Fresno for a while. Why?
Okay. Well, you say you were leaving. You're selling or moving or something?
Oh, yeah. Mike has a few more years here. But we will hopefully also be in Paso. Things are in the works. Tasting room.
Good.
Things like I have not been to California this time of year.
Deb is gonna come visit me as soon as we can.
Yeah. There you go.
Yes.
And give me a bedroom. So then I have a bedroom down the path.
It's all you. It's waiting for you. It's waiting for anybody. I would love anybody to come visit me. But anyway, thank you so much for joining. I hope you had fun talking about stupid wine laws. And as soon as I figure out next month, I will shoot out a request. And as always, if you have an idea of what you would like to talk about, please send me an email. I'm always open for new ideas for a wine writer's wrap-up. So thank you, everybody.
Michigan.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Exploring the Wine Glass. Thanks for listening. If you have suggestions on what topics you would like me to discuss, please reach out on social media. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as Exploring the Wine Glass. I am also on LinkedIn as Lori Hoytbud. Of course, you can always email me at exploringthewineglass@gmail.com. If you enjoyed what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe to help others find me more easily. And most importantly, tell your wine-loving friends, because if you like the podcast, they will too. Music is Wine by Kevens. Until next week, slancha.
Turn right into wine, so you and I can feel the vine.